Now, I would like to speak about the Irfan or mysticism side of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh. There is difference of opinion to some people. When we discuss about Irfan, they say there is no difference between Irfan and Sufism. And they say that those, of course, who do not like to follow the way of Imam Khomeini, they say he was a Sufi. And based on that terminology, they would like to say whatever he said, it was like other Sufis. Whether we talk about Sufism in terms of Sufi, the word Sufi comes from Suf, which is wool, or Sufism, the word comes from Ahlu Sufa, those people who used to live in Medina during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And they used to live in a special place near the mosque of the Holy Prophet, and they were very poor, so they had to depend on sadaqa. They were known as Ahlu Sufa. Or we talk about Sufi from Swafa, which means purity, and these were the people who follow, they would like to purify their soul. Or we talk about those people who, when they go around, they wear wool. We don't talk about these things when we mention Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh. For him, even you could see that he wouldn't use the terminology Sufi in his writings, in his lectures. He would like to use the word Irfan, because there was a time when people who are known as Sufis, they followed a way which for them they were living in this world, but they were not there, if I can say so. There were people who would say we need to do dhikrullah. We need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would gather together and chant, like people where I come from in Africa. They would form a circle and start doing dhikr, Allah, 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 and so on and so forth. But when it comes in terms of how to implement the wordings, you wouldn't see them there. And they would stay in the mosque for a long time. Even when the time for salah comes, they would continue chanting these adhkar. So when we talk about Sufism, or people who follow Sufism in that terms, you cannot put Imam Khomeini with these people. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, was someone who wanted to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was an arif. An arif, if you translate the word to Irfan, then it becomes someone who knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. I would like to begin my discussion with the hadith, which is Hadith al-Qudsi. There are terminologies here for those who do not know. We have hadith from the Holy Prophet, which we call it hadith. From Ma'sumin of Ahlul Bayt, we call it hadith. And we have another hadith, which is the word of Allah, which is Hadith al-Quds. The meaning is from Allah, the intention is from Allah, but the wordings is from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Now, based on Hadith al-Quds, there is one hadith which says, Abdi أطعني تكون مثلي تقول لشيء كن فيكون. O my servant, that Salah says, أطعني, obey me, تكون مثلي, you will be like me. تقول لشيء كن فيكون, you will tell something to be and it will happen. This is a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, obey me and this will be your outcome. You will tell something to be and it will be. When we move from this point to Imam Khomeini's life, we see many events and many occasions where he told people to do things. He informed people that some things will happen, and surely they happened. It is because of his attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that attachment The previous speaker mentioned that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was young, he moved from Khomeini to Qum. When he reached the holy city of Qum, he memorized the Holy Quran at the age of 7. He was hafiz of Quran at that age. So you could see his attachment when he was very young, and you could see his attachment when he was hospitalized before he passed away, reading Quran. You could see his attachment that whenever he was speaking about something, he would mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he would mention the ayah from the Holy Quran. And I think this approach made people aware of the position of Imam Khomeini towards Quran. And that's why, for example, you could see even journalists, when they were narrating or telling an event which had happened, they would connect it with the Quran, the verses from the Holy Quran. For example, when the planes, American planes, which were coming to rescue the hostages in Iran, they crashed and all the people who were aboarding those planes died, the American soldiers. When the information was received, you could see all the papers would write this surah. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. Wa arsala alayhim tayran ababil tarmihim bi hijaratin min sijjil faj'alahum ka'asfin ma'akul. You could see the relationship of what had happened there with ashabul fil, those people who wanted to destroy al-Kaaba, and what was their consequences. So you could see this. And when Shah passed away, you could see the relationship between the event and the ayah from the Holy Quran. Alam nuhlikil awwalin thumma nutbi'uhum al-akhirin kadhalika naf'alu bil mujrimin. You could see the pictures that nuhlikil awwalin, we destroyed the first one, that was Shah. Then the one which was before Shah was Jamal Abdul Nasser, then Shah, then another king who has passed away. Actually, this was the message that these people will follow, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in destroying those people who were going against Allah's command. So when we talk about Imam Khomeini's irfan, it was irfan based on the Holy Quran, irfan based on the ahadith of Masumin alayhim salam, irfan which was based on the understanding, pure understanding of Islam. Sheikh Araki, Ayatollah Araki, has said so in one of his writings, that Imam's monastery of practical and theoretical concepts of irfan and his ability to personify these concepts so successful in his life was mainly done to his all-encompassing knowledge of deen, religion. As a matter of fact, religion constituted the principles and the pillars of his practical and theoretical irfan. This was based on the Holy Quran and the hadith from the infallible imams. He was a jurist and a scholar with unparalleled understanding of jurisprudence, fiqh and usul. His knowledge of the science of hadith was unique, and his insight in the text of traditions as well as the science of narratives were truly extraordinary. So you could see him, when it comes to irfan, his irfan was that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommend us to do in the Holy Quran. And actually, if you talk to the people who know Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayh, they would tell you that for him, Salatul Layl, Namaz Shab, was something like Faridah. He wouldn't miss that. And actually, most of the time, this is from those who were with him, they would say that when he was faced with a problem, they came to ask him a question. He would tell them, wait till tomorrow, inshallah, I will give you my answer. And they were wondering, where would he go to find his answers? But it was at the time of Namaz Shab, Salatul Layl, Tahajjud, where he was communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could get those kind of insights, and tomorrow he would tell them that this is the way you need to do. So, and based on Salatul Layl, actually in the Holy Quran, you could find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly, wa min al-layli fatahajjad laka nafilatan wa fatahajjad nafilatan lak asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you perform salatul layl regularly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate you to a position which will be a position which will be recommended, the position which will be appreciated. And that is salatul layl. When you look at the face of Imam Khomeini, you see nur, you see light. Most of the people who went to see Imam Khomeini when he was alive, they would tell you their experiences that whenever they look at his face, they saw nur, they saw light. And this is based on the hadith of the Holy Prophet, which says, if you pray salatul layl, Allah will put nur, light on your face, and people will love you. So based on his irfan, which is a proper irfan, he came with a program of change. That program of change, according to his teachings, the first one was purification of the soul. And he calls it jihad and nafs. In his book, Arba'in or Arba'una Hadithan, the 40 hadith, you could see that that hadith is the beginning of that book. The first hadith in the book is hadith about jihadun nafs. And actually, by jihad nafs, Imam says, if you want to change a community, you need to start from the soul, from the spirit. If one could change that soul, which is within himself, then he can change everything. But we wonder, where did Imam Khomeini got his understanding of Irfan? Actually, if you read his history, you will find that Imam Khomeini studied under many great scholars of Irfan. But it was from one Ayatollah, Shah Abadi. He was his scholar, and Imam called him as Honorable Sheikh, and he said to him, this was an Arif Sheikh who taught him a lot of his lessons on Irfan. And actually, we learn that from this great scholar that he used to tell people to do some sort of practices, Islamic practices, and they would see things which other people wouldn't see. So Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh, learned from his sheikh a lot until he became a master himself in this science of Irfan. So when we discuss about the Irfan side of Imam Khomeini, we see that he managed to connect between Quran and different events which took place. He managed to combine between the world as well as the religion. If you want, he managed to combine between politics as well as religion. Before him, it was haram for the people of this world to say that I am a leader of this country as well as imam or sheikh or so on and so forth. But for him, we could see one man with many aspects in him. You could see him a sheikh. By the way, I remember, and those of you who are here, for the first time when we saw the picture of Imam Khomeini as leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, you see the black turban. You see this sheikh with long beard. You would ask yourself, could he lead a country really? Because we used to see the pictures of like people like Castro when he come with his two pistols and uniform. You say that, yes, this is the leader. Picture of Che Guevara and others of him. But to see a picture of a sheikh, humble man, when he speaks with a very soft voice, you say, how could he lead a country? But yes, truly and really, he knew what he was doing, and he started from the soul. He said, if you want to change people, you need to start from the soul, and that was his program of change. So for us, we learn a lot from this great personality, and that is, in order for us to change a community, you need to have a program, but that program needs to begin from yourself. And that program, if starts from the soul, You change your soul, then it could be easy to change others. And he was sincere in whatever he used to say. When you look at the house where he used to live, when you visit him there, you cannot see the lifestyle even you and me live. We have heard here, even in his teachings, where he used to sit down. So you can see that he was a man of mission. He came here not to elevate himself in order for people to say, thank you, our leader, and thank you, and thank you. But he was there for the people, and whatever he said, it was coming from the heart. That's why it penetrated the heart, because he was a man of understanding of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to do. So that is what I wanted really to share with you. And if you can read his books, for example, Asraru Salah, The Secrets of Salah, and other books, The 40 Hadith, and other Jihadun Nafs, you would learn a lot where we need these teachings to apply them in our daily life in order for us to be saved in this material world which we live in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul. Ameen.